crashed, I have my laptop. In case my laptop crashed, I have notes. So it just kind of seems to be that way. First of all, I'd like to kind of give you a little brief thing about where I came from and how I learned about the feast. I am not a Jewish scholar. I am not a perfect person to understand everything there is to know about the feasts. God is so good in that he uses how he created us. Some people learn different than other people. And I am not the one that can, you know, go through a book and I got it, you know. That's not me. God knows that's not me. So 20 years ago, he put me in the hands of a man who used to choreograph the Feast of Tabernacles every year in Jerusalem. He did it for 10 years. And sometimes if you Google Feast of Tabernacles with Paul Wilbur, you'll see Paul Wilbur singing that. Randall Bain was the one that choreographed that whole thing, the dancers, the everything. And the Lord was speaking to me before I even met Randall about the one new man. They didn't call it the one new man then, but that's what he was speaking to me about. And so I began to kind of wonder, because when you're reading the word, I mean, you can twist it and turn it where you want to, but when God said this is, you know, my appointed time and it's never going to change. And so, you know, you start thinking about some things. And then I have to learn through watching or doing something. I can't just read about it. So there was a place down. Randall came back from Jerusalem and he opened a place called David's House. And it's right down on Admiral Boulevard, right around the corner from the prostitutes and everything else. But there was David's House, and it was used to be a synagogue, and then it became something else, and then it was a puppet factory. So the whole top floor was sealed off with this beautiful wood. You had to go up, I don't know how many, I guess it was a flight of stairs, but they were really wide. So when you get to the top and you open the door, there was draped fabric, and there was a whole tabernacle just there, and it was just awesome. And so we actually reenacted the feast through drama, through mime, through dance, through flags. We reenacted each feast as it came about. And that's how I learned about the feasts. And since I'm not a scholar, and if you want to know all those little teeny tiny details, when, where, why, how, who, whatever, and what year, and, you know, all that, then I suggest that you just read it yourself and find out. But I tried to do this. It's the first time I've done my whole thing on a PowerPoint, so I'm hoping it'll go good here. I tried to make it simple because it's still taking me, and it's 20 years ago that I started doing this, and even today, it's like the word. You know, you can read the word over and over and over. All of a sudden, you get something different. That's the way it is with the feast, and there's so many little hidden things. I'd be up here for a week talking to you guys if I went through every little teeny tiny thing. And I don't really believe that we're supposed to make a law and a restriction. We are not Jews. We are Gentiles that are grafted in. And I think that there is a lot to be learned through celebrating the feast. Do you have to? No, there's no commandment really that says you have to. The Lord says this is my appointed times, and they're for all generations. And we'll cover a little bit of that in this. But wouldn't you want to know the Lord a little more, a little better? And it takes us on a journey. That's what I love about the feasts. So we're at the end. Let me make sure I can. Okay, Ritter. There we go. God's cycle of life. Can you all see that? Do I need to turn that light off over there? Can you see it? Okay. The feast I call when, and then if you're not a scholar, then you go find somebody who is and knows. And so Robert Heidler's book, a lot of my stuff is coming from his book called The Messianic Church Arising. And it's got a lot of information about the feasts and how they celebrated them back then and how what they mean to us today. So that's where I got most of my stuff from. So it's God's cycle of life. Celebrating the biblical feasts. Now the universe is filled with cycles. Some are used by the enemy to bring us into a place of loss and destruction. How many of you have experienced that? I have. Okay. Some cycles are given by God to bring us into increase of his blessing. And that's what the feasts are all about. Well, we need to understand both. Now, there's a cycle of destruction. And the classic example of a cycle of destruction is found in the book of Judges. And in Judges, we find that Israel was locked into a cycle of sin. They rebelled. They were oppressed. They repented. They got delivered. They went back to rebellion and oppression and repentance and deliverance. And that was a cycle that they were in. And that was a cycle of destruction. How many want to go into the cycle of destruction? Not me. I don't either. So, there's a cycle of blessings. And the good news is that God also works through cycles. So be thankful that God works through cycles. In the natural realm, there is a cycle of sowing and reaping. And when you sow in good soil, you will reap much more than you sow. The result is multiplication and increase. Who wants multiplication and increase? Amen. Okay, so you've got to sow, you got to tend, you've got to harvest, then you get the increase, and you sow, and you tend, and you harvest, and you get the increase. This is a cycle of sowing and reaping, and it's also a cycle of blessing. So God wants to lock you into a cycle of blessing, growth, and increase. God has given us a yearly cycle made up in a series of feasts or appointed times. And you've heard me and Joe and several of us talk about feasts and appointed times. This is God's cycle. So I want to get on board with God's cycle. They're designed to take us through key steps to deepen our walk with the Lord. I want to deepen my walk with the Lord. To break the power of the enemy. And to release the power of God in our experience as we are going through them. Three times a year you're to celebrate a feast to me, says the Lord, and that's found in Exodus 23:14 through 17. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Okay. This was confusing to me when I first started, because you know, you have the Hebrew name and then you have the name that, you know, that we kind of added to it, and so I was like, okay, so which feast is this now? Anyway, so it's now that, you know, and I still have to refer back to my notes sometimes, because it's like it takes a while to get it all together. But once you do, then there's a blessing in doing all this. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread is called Passover. And what I'm going to do is just kind of go through all, there's seven appointed times, and I'm just going to go briefly go through those. And then we're going to focus on what we're going through starting tomorrow, or tonight at sundown, is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we're going to ping on that a little bit more. But I just kind of wanted to get you familiar with all the feasts. So there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover. And Karen does the Passover Seder downstairs. And so when we get to that, you know, time, then, you know, then we'll walk through that feast. And the Celebrate the Feast of Harvest, that's Pentecost. And then the celebration of the Feast of Ingathering is called Tabernacles. And three times a year do you appear before the Sovereign Lord, says the Sovereign Lord. God uses cycles to bring us up to new levels of his blessing and provision. The biblical feasts are a part of a cycle of life that actually made up a biblical calendar. They were not just holidays or Jewish rituals. God calls them his appointed times. Times set by God to meet with his people. Are you his people? We're not Jews. We're grafted in. We're still his people. So God wants to meet with you. So God's intention was that as you repeat the cycle every year, you will be drawn even closer to him to experience more of his blessing in your life. So I'm not a scholar, but I've been doing this for 20 years. And let me tell you, I've experienced the blessing, the cycle of blessing. Sure, you're gonna hit those things in life like the Lord said you would, but he brings you through them. And that's still a cycle of blessing. And so I'm not, it's kind of like if you've ever done this or know of people at work, they're not hired because they have a degree, they're hired because they have experience. That's kind of where I'm at with the feast. I don't have a degree in theology, although I tried several times to go to school and it never worked out. So I'm not, you know, I'm not, but I've experienced it. I've walked through it. And so I'm here as a living proof that this is the most awesome thing. And you just, you find things every time you go through it that, you know, because God is, he's new and fresh, and he'll download stuff to you as you walk through this. It's just amazing. Okay. In each of these key times, God desired to meet with his people and accomplish specific spiritual transactions into their lives. Taken together, these appointed times form a yearly cycle designed to bring God's people into everlasting increasing blessing. Everlasting increasing blessing. I love that. God gave specific promises to all who would observe them. And guess what? It's not just for Israel. God's word repeatedly tells us that these appointed times are eternal for all generations and cannot be changed. And in Daniel, one of the signs of the Antichrist is that he would try to change the appointed times. We are still in the appointed times. So, you know, it's not just for Israel. It's also for us. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak word against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the time of sacred feasts and holy days and the law. And the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, two times, and a half time, 3 1/2 years. So this is going to be in our time because the Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that has not been fulfilled yet. So I'm so excited because it's coming up. And it's exciting. The problem is most of us are ignorant as to, and we don't understand God's appointed times. So the Lord sent me out into a field I knew nothing about. I knew nothing about the feasts. And so 20 years ago, I've been trying to preach the feasts. And so now I get my opportunity. Thank you, Joe and Renee. Because this is 20 years. I didn't keep my mouth shut. But, you know, it's just like when I started telling people about that and about the one new man and about, you know, some other things the Lord was showing, they just went, go away. I don't want to hear it. Or, you know, you're off your rocker. So, like I said, I'm not an expert on the feast, but I do have 20 years of living it out each year under blessing and increase. And his presence in my life has really increased. And through not only doing it, but learning it and applying it. Like Joe, you just segued right into my thing here. You don't just hear it, you do it, you apply it. And so the principles that I've learned through these appointed times, you know, the Lord has just blessed me through that. So the overview is, quickly, there are a total of 7 appointed times in the yearly cycle, and they are grouped together in 3 yearly celebrations. And so I don't expect you to get this all at once because it took me a little while. Okay, Passover begins the biblical calendar and marks the first month of the cycle of feasts. Not the first day of the year, but the first month of the cycle. So that's a little tricky, and I don't have time to go into the year and the new year and all that. Okay, so the 3 feasts within Passover. Passover is one feast, but there's 3 there's 3 things in Passover. There's Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And I'm not going to go into what these are because when we get to that point in time, I will go through each one of these. There's 3 different things that God wants to show you in the Feast of Passover. Then there's Pentecost, which is also called Shavuot. And so that, you know, you get a little confused, but don't be confused. Just Pentecost is fine. It also celebrates God's blessings in 3 areas, and it's held in the 3rd month. It's God's provision of the harvest, God's provision of his word, and God's provision of the Holy Spirit. And when we get to Pentecost, I will break that down for you too. Then the Feast of Tabernacles is held in the 7th month, and it's a cluster of 3 closely related events. And this is where we are today. Tonight at sundown starts trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, which means trumpet. And so this is where we're going to. The Feast of Trumpets includes trumpets and includes atonement, which is also called Yom Kippur. And you see this a lot on just regular secular calendars, Yom Kippur. And then Tabernacles, which is also known as Sukkot. Okay, so what is the picture in the feasts? Okay, the first month is Passover. It's about redemption and cleansing. Appointed time is Pentecost, and it's supposed to produce abundant provision. Oops, going the wrong way. Then you have a long, hot summer where there's nothing going on. Then you have the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm so excited because this is my favorite one. I love Pentecost too. I love them all, but I mean, this is where the indwelling of his glory. And you know, Jesus' redemption, he's already done that. And Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit fell. He's already done that. But he dwells in us, but he hasn't come to dwell permanently. So this is what we're waiting for. So get excited, because we are starting at sundown, we're in the Feast of Trumpets. So Passover. I don't know if I can or not. My husband, nope. Hang on. That one? No, I didn't go to that one yet. Okay. Passover celebrates redemption from sin and cleansing from impurity. Each year when Passover is celebrated, we experience again the joy of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's Passover. This is just a little bit better, a little bit more information about them. Pentecost is a celebration of God's provision. So each year we thank God for his provision in the past and gain faith to experience his full provision in the year ahead. And then Tabernacles celebrates God's glory, his presence dwelling with his people. Each year at Tabernacles, God wants to lead us afresh into the joy of life in his presence. And that's probably why I like this so much, because it talks about joy. Right now, we are in the Feast of Trumpets, which is a solemn time. It's a solemn time. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I may have done a little double thing to try and get this in your head. This is, I think I messed up my little thing here. There we go. Okay, the fall feast is a countdown to revival. Everybody talks about revival. Revival, right? If they do this, they get it. They get revival. The Feast of Trumpets is the wake-up call. And then there, right after the Feast of Trumpets is one. Tonight at sundown, if you were in Israel, the trumpets would be sounding. And it's a wake-up call. It's time to wake up. It's time for a new year to start, which is why the new year changes. Tonight at sundown, we will be in 5776 instead of 5775. Okay, and then we have the Days of Awe. The Days of Awe is a time for seeking him. So you have 10 days, and they don't count the days like we do because their days start like in the evening. And so if you look on the calendar, no, it's 9. No, it is 10, really it is. There's 10 days of awe when you're to seek the Lord. And then there's the Day of Atonement. That's the day to be restored. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles, a week to experience glory. I mean, this is all in the Feast of Tabernacles, which we start tonight at sundown. So for the next 3 weeks, for the next 3 weeks, because today I'm going to talk about trumpets. Wednesday night we're going to do atonement, and then the Sunday after Kamal comes, we're going to do tabernacles. Those three things that I just talked about there. So except for the Feast of Tabernacles, they'll all be actually on. Like tonight is trumpets. Wednesday is the next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday after the Days of Awe is actually Yom Kippur, so we'll be doing it on the day. There's no, I don't believe we have to be that strict, But it's just awesome that it happens on that way. And then when the Sunday after Kamal comes, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday when, actually Tabernacles, but we'll do it on Sunday. So we'll be all ready to go when it happens. So the first, the Feast of Trumpets, it's God's wake-up call. It's a time when the shofars are blown to announce, or trumpets, to announce the new year and to call us to spiritual alertness. So guess what? At sundown today, we start the Hebraic year of 5776. Okay, one of the commands for the feast is to listen. Listen is a big word. Listen to the sound of the trumpets. The trumpet blast is a signal to shift out of the old cycle and enter the presence of God. The seventh month in the cycle of redemption becomes the first month, the head of the year, and a new year of blessing. That's kind of hard with their calendar and our calendar, and when I have time sometime, I'll explain all that. But just know that the wake-up call, hey, it's going to be a new year. New blessings are coming down. So wake up, and get ready. Get ready, because He's coming. And so sometimes we need a wake-up call, and we need to be called to alertness, and we need a call to enter into a new season. How many want a new season? I'm tired of this season. Although it was pretty good, I want a new one, especially with the double Shemitah. And I don't understand all that either. I just know that it's there, and I'm all for it. Okay, a wake-up call always comes before revival. So the Feast of Trumpets is designed to be a time when the sound of the trumpet awakens your spirit. If you've ever heard of shofar, we play here from time to time. God created that to do something to our spirit. So when you hear the trumpet blast, ask God to show you anything in your life that would hinder His work in you. So I'm going to say that again. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, we're going to do that today, even though it's not until this evening. If you want to get a recording and do it again this evening, I'm going to, just because I love the shofar and I love what it does to my spirit, and I love to be thinking about trumpets, but we're going to do it here. But when it blasts, you really, it's God waking you up. Okay, is there anything in you that God needs to work out of you that's not Him? And the days, so be thinking about that when the trumpets blast. The days after the trumpet blast are called the days of awe. It's teshuvah, and it means to turn and to return. So if you're going, like Joe always says, if you're going this direction, turn, go this direction. If you've been away from God, it's time to return to Him. It also means repentance, and it also means springtime. So that's, you know, the Hebrew words are funny that way. They mean, there's so much in a Hebrew word, even pictures, I mean, in the Hebrew word. When God gives you a wake-up call, it's time to turn from anything that hinders your walk with Him, a time to return to Him. And when we do, we are refreshed, and it feels like springtime. You know, remember spring? I mean, this is the end of summer, but remember spring and all the fresh flat? We just feel light and spring. So it's a release of life and a release of God's blessing. Some of the things to do during the days of awe: praise Him, read His word. It's important during this season to spend some extended times alone with God. Some of us do it daily. Some of us, I mean, everywhere I go, like Joe says, I'm doing this, I'm praising God. But, I mean, those special times when you're just sitting alone and listening to Him, I need more of those. Especially when we're going to be coming up on the Day of Atonement. That not the Wednesday following, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. So for the days of awe, we're going to be praising Him and spending time with Him. There are a time set by God when his spirit is ready to meet with you in some unusual ways. And I wish I was a journaler, because I can't think right off the top of my head, but I know that when I go through these feasts that God does meet with me in unusual ways. So then we let God reveal any old cycles in our life. So you spend time with God, ask Him to reveal to you any old cycles of destruction in your life. If He does, ask Him for strategy for freedom. Don't just, ask Him. He'll give it to you. He'll, you know, He wants you to be free. Well, we were singing about freedom today, so that kind of segued right into all this too. It's just awesome how God works. Ask God to reveal any sin in your life. When God reveals sin, he also gives us grace to gain victory over it. So you're not stuck. Draw close to God. Let him quicken your spirit and awaken a new level of love for him in your heart. Now you would be ready for the Day of Atonement. So you see how that works? I mean, God says, wake up. You spend time with him. He does all that stuff. He shows you this, and you're spending time with him. And now you're getting ready. The Day of Atonement is, this is really a serious time. This is one of the most serious of feasts. A lot of them are happy and joyful, and this one's really somber because you're coming before the Lord. So as we listen to the blast of the shofar, we need to let go of old forms of security. We need to break out of our old habits, and we need to repent of old ways of thinking. So, when the trumpet sounds, shift. Not yet. Hang on. Okay, so it's a time to shift. And you have a little thing in your bulletin. And this, we change into a new month. And I just want you to see how God orchestrates things. Now, this is just a brief overview of, and trumpets is just like one night. That's it. Blow the trumpet. Then you have 10 days of awe. And now we're going into atonement in 10 days from now and on a Wednesday. So it's a real short thing. It's not like, a bunch of long days of doing things. We're going into the month of Tishri, starting tonight, and we're also starting the new year. So it's instead of 5775, we'll be in 5776. So the Feast of Atonements the Feast of Trumpets is about atonement and tabernacles. And Lamed is the alphabet name for this month coming up, and it signifies the aspiration to return to your absolute source, which is teshuva, means to return. So we were talking about that in the Feast of Trumpets. And so, Tishri, goes right along with that. So, and it's represented by the tribe of Ephraim, which means to be fruitful and multiply, and that's what God wants to do in this feast. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply and give us more blessing, and we're heading into a new year. He wants us to bless us even more in the new year. There's some other things that are in there about the month of Tishri, which goes right along with the fall feast. So God doesn't make mistakes. I mean, and this is his calendar. I don't even call it a Jewish calendar. I call it a biblical calendar, because he wants to take us from blessing to blessing to blessing. And there's so much more. I mean, I forgot to do this. You must have been doing it from back there. Thank you, Rich. There's so much more that's involved in this whole thing. And you're not going to get it all at once. So just, do your research if you want to get closer to the Lord and you want to understand his cycle. I want to flow in his cycle, not mine. A lot of times we miss God because we're not in his cycle. He's over here and we're over here. So there's a song that Joanne McFadder does, and I'm not going to sing it. you're safe. But I would like to read it to you because the song is called Sleeper Awake. Now, we did this last year, I think, Karen. We did a little skit thing. But this is all about becoming awake, and it goes right along with trumpets, because trumpets is the wake-up call. So it's come, come. Do you hear the whispers? Do you hear the murmurings? The coming of the Holy One. Just around the corner. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in this hour. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is whispering. Hear it in the wind. Hear it in the fire. Hear the voice of the Lord like the sound of many waters. Awake, 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 O sleeper. You awake now, aren't you? Now is the time to take your place. Do you know the strings of the fiber of your being? A restlessness you can't explain. Since when did the Spirit of the Lord make sense to the mind of man? Divine revelation. The day of the Lord is upon you now, though you can only see a faint outline of its form. Take the next step. You'll begin to see the shape. Come on, come on. It's going to take a leap of faith. Shake off the past. Not quite sure what's out there. You only know you got to go. You only know you got to find what's waiting. And that's the way I feel about the feast. They just keep me waiting for the next thing. And so as we listen to the sound of the shofar, what I said before, just let go of those old things, because guess what? Tomorrow is not only a new day, it's a new year. Amen. For now.
Last few years, and I have just enough knowledge of them to be dangerous with it. And but I am, and you know, when I wrote the book on Ecclesia, I'm going to ask you too if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When I wrote the book in the middle of it, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said that there is a connection between his appointed times, his feast, and the ecclesia. And I have to be honest, I still don't have it all. I've gained some more. I mean, I don't even have enough to write another chapter to it. But I'm anxiously looking forward to the deeper revelation and understanding of that in line with ecclesia. And I want to, if you were not here last week, I want to ask you, because I'm going to jump into some more things about strongholds. I won't take a ton of time this morning, but I want to, I felt like, matter of fact, I was even just thinking of not saying anything, but I feel like I need to say a few things about strongholds this morning and have an opportunity for some real freedom in that area before we're released today. And I didn't know either, as Cherie was talking about, that after today and the days of all, because she mentioned it, that's part of that reflection and changing the way we think, getting new cycles, new patterns of thought, which is so very important in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to just read, and I'm in 1 Corinthians, so give me a second here. Verse 3 of chapter 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh or the natural." They're not made of human, you know, the human natural flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Another word for the word fortress is stronghold. For the destruction of strongholds, not the wounding of them, not the bruising of them, but the totally destroying strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And as I didn't finish what I meant to say from last week, if you were not here, and even if you were here, I just want to encourage you to get the recording of that and listen to it, because I'm not going to go back over what we talked about last week. I want to keep moving forward in this. But there's so many things to talk about.